You're listening to China Manufacturing Decoded from the Sophie's Group. Hello, just popping by for a quick summary of today's episode, episode 208 of the podcast. And today, Renault's interviewing a couple of insurance experts, their insurance brokers in China, Mark Bourbon and Amanda Han of Asian Risk Management Services. They're based in Beijing and Shanghai, and they're going to be discussing the kind of manufacturing risks that are typical in China and how we would mitigate those through insurance. This is going to be important for anybody who's engaged in manufacturing in China, because you've got to understand those risks and you need to understand how to protect yourself. So without further ado, let's get it rolling.
Hello, everybody. This is your host, Renaud Enjolras. And today we are talking about risks and how to manage risks through insurance. And today is a treat because with me is Mark Bourbon and also his colleague Amanda Han from the company Asian Risks Management Services. And they are an insurance broker. So they work with a number of companies on how to cover their major risks and to pick the appropriate policies from the appropriate insurance companies, right? So they have a broad view of, again, what the main risks are, how to address them, how to mitigate them, and so on and so forth. And this is what we're going to cover today. So welcome, Mark, and welcome, Amanda. Thanks for being here with me today. So the first question, a lot of the listeners are either working in manufacturing or they purchase products from manufacturers. When it comes to risk management, because you're a risk management professional, really, right? In your mind, when you work with these types of companies, especially with manufacturing companies, let's say, what are the major risks that they should keep in mind?
So there are few risks businesses should keep in mind. First of all, are risks related to operations, so internal operations, like the production process, any process in the company, accounting, employees, any mistake, failure in the company. The second type of risk, operational risk, are risk related, what we call external risk, related, let's say, to provider, supplier, so disruption in the supply chain. Then the second type of risk are risk related to compliance, legal compliance. You have to make sure that you follow the regulation. The third risk are related to what we call reputational risk. So the way how the public, your customer perceive your company, even also the authority. So for instance, if there is a failure in your product that causes harm the public, the customer, the end user, so the customer may complain. So it may have an impact on your brand and your image. Then the fourth risk is about cyber risk. So now, especially nowadays, you know, with the development of IT and all the media, internet and social media, and all the use of the IT system, so risk of ransom, embezzlement are quite, unfortunately, more and more common. And the last risk are also very deeply related and more probably close to any businesses are natural catastrophe risk and what we call man-made disaster risk, like fire, equipment failure, machine breakdown caused by bad handling of your clients. So this is, in a nutshell, the risk businesses are facing in China, but also everywhere in the world.
Right. So I'm sure people who've been buying products from Chinese suppliers for many years have run into some of these issues. I mean, sometimes you have a supplier that has their factory catch fire, and then more often than not is the end of the business. It's a very heavy loss, and there's basically discontinuity of supply, right? So it's one of these basic risks that maybe buyers should pay a bit more attention to, right? How are they actually addressing this risk to prevent it, but also, as we're going to talk about, like, are they covered? Do they have insurance for these kind of things, right? And another one, a bit of a hot topic, comes back very, very often, is product liability, right? If the product ends up hurting people, or the product ends up leading to destruction of property and heavy losses, can this be insured, right? This is something that we'll talk about. So Mark, you gave us a good rundown of the major types of risks, right? So how can these risks be mitigated?
There is few ways to mitigate risk. First of all, you have to identify the risk, make an assessment of the risk you are facing. And from this assessment, you have to prioritize the risk you can retain, so you can assume on your own, and risk you cannot assume. So the criteria for this is basically the impact on your cash flow. For instance, in your factory, if there is a water damage and there is some stain in the wall, you don't need to do some paintings, may cost a few thousand kwai, so you don't need insurance for that.
Right, of course.
If you have a fire that broke in your factory and caused damage to some equipment and cost millions, so it has an impact on your cash flow, so in this case you can use insurance. And the process is you transfer your risk to an insurer, you pay a premium, and in exchange of the premium you pay the insurer, the risk is transferred to him, the insurer will assume the risk. So that's one way to mitigating your risk. Another is, and also insurance can help you in that way, in that respect. So it's doing risk management. So basically adding for inspection analysis about the risk you are taking, and for each risk, not only transferring to the insurer, we will touch on later probably, but also to have a proper measure to make sure that the risk won't occur, or if it occurs, the severity of the risk will not cost too much to your company.
Right, yeah. So if I summarize a little bit the logic in my own words, right, and that's the way we've been thinking about this, is the small risks might not need to be insured, but the very big risks, everything that might kill the business or severely hamper the business, well, can we afford to have this happen? No, then we need to do something about that, right? And then can we prevent this hazardous situation or this problem from happening? For sure, okay, then it's fine. Risk is zero. We do something, risk gets to zero, close to zero. Okay, we're very happy about that. But then if there's still, after all the efforts we make, there's still some risk, some residual risk, well, that's where it makes a lot of sense to work with an insurance company. Again, if the impact, the potential impact, the potential severity is very high. Is that a good way to
summarize
it? Yes,
this is a good way, actually. So insurance company helps you to provide you a service like ensuring the continuity of your business. And usually, once again, it's related to the cash flow. If your cash flow is deeply affected by the accident, so your company is bankrupt. So the insurance in this case will help you.
Right. Yeah. So maybe let's go a little bit deeper into this concept. I'm not an insurance professional at all. I don't know anything about that basically besides, and by the way, we've been working with Mark and Amanda's company for some time, and we're quite happy with their advice. That's why we brought them on the show. But basically, besides what you told me, I know very little about insurance. Can you explain basically how that works, right? The mechanism behind it.
Okay, so basically an insurer, what is an insurer? So the role of insurer is to provide financial coverage to his clients. How he is doing that? By he is using two ways. First is doing a risk assessment of the clients to whom he's providing coverage. And the second thing he's doing is pooling financial resources by covering a lot of clients. So the first step from the insurance point of view, what the insurer is doing first is doing what we call a risk assessment to know, to understand whether he is going to provide cover or not to this company, to your company. So he's doing like a risk assessment, checking so your activity, protection in place, where you are located, so all these features to understand if there is a big risk of occurrence, a high probability of occurrence of any accident in your company. Then from that, he will check also your activity, the value of the assets, and from that he will calculate the premium, which is usually premium rate multiplied by the turnover or the sum insured. And so the premium rate reflects the hazard business of your company, your activity. If it's if you are in the chemical industry, it's more hazardous than mechanical industry. If you are in Guangdong province, it's considered as a more hazardous location than, let's say, in Mongolia for typhoon, for instance. Yeah. Not for frost, right. But for typhoon. Yeah, so that's kind of criteria. So one thing important about insurance is from the time. So after insurance designed the terms and conditions, fixed the premium, there is a discussion, negotiation with the insurer about, you know, whether the insurer wants to buy or not. Once they decide so if the insurer decide to buy insurance, the insurer will provide coverage. So that's and from that start the service provided by the insurer. Mm. Right. So the further stage, if there is a claim, so you have to lodge as insured policyholder, you have to lodge a claim with the insurer, and the insurer will check if the claim is covered or not, assess the claim. Usually, it's not done by insurance. Usually, they are using what we call loss adjuster, which is company, dedicated company that provide service to have insurer and insured to settle the claim. One thing I would like to mention, which is pretty important when it comes to claim, is the policy form. There is from property insurance, at least. There is two types of property insurance. One is what we call named peril policy. So all the perils are listed in the policy. And the second type is all risk policy. So there is no mention of what is covered, but only mention of what is not covered. Why is important? Because it's about the burden of a proof. So if it's a named perils policy, you, as insured policyholder, you have to prove there is a claim. So there is an accident, let's say a fire. So you have to provide evidence the fire occurred in your factory. If it's all risk policy, you just report the claim to the insurer, and the insurer has to prove this is not covered.
Okay.
So this is the same for in the legal dispute. It's always more difficult to prove something than not proving.
Right.
So, yes, so that's the second step, I would say. Other service that can provide insurer is risk management services. They can help you to improve the quality of your risk by setting in place proper fire safety devices, for instance. So fire drills. So basically helping you to having a systematic risk approach. This is the way insurance can also help you to mitigate your risk and how they work as well.
So talking about that, how manufacturers address their risk and manage their risk, I just want to bounce back on what you just mentioned. For example, with fire drills and things like that, 95% of the cases, if we talk about Chinese manufacturers anyway, if someone, maybe one of their customers asks, hey, what do you do about fire prevention and things like that? And they will say, oh, this is what the Chinese government asks us to do, right? We comply, and this is the requirements, and we do a fire drill with a fire station, whatever, every 6 months, and we have sprinklers, and we have extinguishers, and we have a sand bucket and things like that. And they think that, wow, they already do everything from A to Z and there's nothing else to do, right? I don't know if you've seen that, but there's a lack of sort of proactive thinking. Okay, I'm just meeting the baseline, which is the regulatory baseline. Should I go further? You know, but basically, if you meet the regulatory baseline, what happens is just that if there's a fire, well, hopefully people can be evacuated on time, and hopefully they started very early, they have an extinguisher or something, they can stop it. But does it get the risk to zero? Of course not, right? So there's still the problem of, I don't know, the store, I don't know, a fire starts and gets too big, too hot, too fast, and everybody's just going to run away. That's great for them, but it's still the end of the business if it burns all of the inventory and maybe all of the, I don't know, samples that they kept and all the production equipment and everything. In a lot of cases with small and medium-sized manufacturers anyway, this is going to be the end of the business, right?
Yes. So as you mentioned, Bruno, so of course, and this is the same for every company operating in China, but almost everywhere in the world. So you have to comply with the local, with the safety regulation. And the safety regulation is related to people in China, like everywhere in the world. So the purpose of the government is to make sure that the people are safe if there is an accident. So this is why they issue regulation. And of course, the company just complying with that, and especially the Chinese company, because they know there is an issue. If there is an accident and some people are injured or die, they will be in trouble. So they comply with that for sure. Most of the company, they follow the regulation in terms of fire safety. But it's once again, it's for person, for human beings. And they are not proactive in terms of risk management. For company, and I think it's, as you mentioned, the issue is, of course, people is the number one. You have to save the life of the people. However, property is also an issue. Supply disruption. If you have a supplier, or warehouse burned down or his factory burned down, and it cannot provide you with spare parts or any equipment you need. So it has an impact on your business. So of course, risk management is not just following, it's also having an active approach. First of all, accepting risk. And I know that's something difficult, especially in China. Accepting people are making mistakes. I've been in this business for more than 30 years. Every loss report I went through, the end of the first loss report is stupid mistake that can be avoided. Just to give you an example, many years ago, I was in insurance industry. We have a claim in Poland, 80 million. Reason of a claim, it was the Christmas, so all the workers were drowned. So the power went to the substation, but the substation was cut off. And the power came down to the power station, the electricity factory.
Electricity cabinet. Oh, okay, the electricity factory.
And
okay.
So the power house exploded.
Wow.
So that's something maybe it's difficult for most of us to accept doing mistake. So once you accept that, you have more proactive ways of ways to deal with risk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and now you're based in Beijing. Your colleague Amanda here is based in Shanghai. So what is available typically, right, here in terms of insurance policy in China for Chinese companies is not exactly the same that's available in every country, right?
It's more or less the same, especially for businesses. So you have at least two types of insurance available. One type is related to the assets you own. So it's mainly property insurance to cover your own assets. In addition to that, you have business interruption, which cover any loss of income if you have a property damage. The second type of insurance is transport insurance to cover any damage to your goods when they are shipped from your factory to the buyer's destination. The second type of insurance is what we call liability, which cover any damage you may create to others. So in China, like everywhere in the world, you have laws, which is civil laws. And under this law, every one of us are responsible of any damage we may create to third party, to others. So in terms of liability, you have first one is public liability. So this is regarding for all damage you may create to person while you are during your operation. So let's say if someone is coming to your factory, fall down on the floor because the floor is wet or it's not clean. So you are liable and you must pay the medical expenses. Another kind of damage is, for instance, property damage. If you create a fire broke out in your factory and propagate to your neighbors, so you are liable to pay the damage of your neighbor, but also of your landlord. It's covered under public liability in China, but you have to declare that. So it's a special clause, you have to extend that. Second type of insurance is product liability, so it's any claim related to caused by damage to your customer and user of your product. So when your product are sold and if there is any issue, safety issue, and some people are get injured because of your product, you are liable and you must pay for the body injury. So what is covered under property insurance and public liability? There is few things that are covered. First of all is body injury, so basically medical expenses. The second type is property damage. Once again, example of tenant liability if you pay damage to your neighbors. Another thing which is covered is legal costs, defense costs, and awards fixed by courts. If your customer or third party sue you in the court, so the insurance will take up the claim and pay on your and will indemnify the plaintiff. A second form of liability is employer's liability, which covers damage to your employees. Once again, this is under the Chinese law. Employers are supposed to provide a safe environment to their staff. If there is any work-related injury, although even if there is no mistake from the employer, the employer has to indemnify medical expenses, loss of income, and in case of serious accident, death benefit to the family or to the or disability. And another thing is covered is the same as for public and private liability, defense costs and the award fee by the courts are covered by employer's liability.
Yeah, okay. So just to clarify for businesses in China, when you say companies have to provide a safe environment to employees, it means even if an employee is riding his bike or in a car going to work in a factory, has an accident, the employer is liable.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
And just to also add something about product liability insurance, I think a few episodes ago we talked about the change in the EU product liability directive. The old one from 1985 is being rehauled, and basically it's extremely protective of the customer. I don't know if you, of the consumer, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very protective. A lot of products are going to be considered defective by default, mm-hmm. unless the company can provide the evidence that it's not. So that makes a bit of a difference. And also another one is that in B2B, so the different companies like the importer and the whatever, the trading company, the manufacturer, etc., cannot use contracts to say, oh, we're not liable, sorry, the buck stops here, like, don't come bother me. With this liability, even if contracts put a limit, for example, the retailer can still sue the company that sold them the products and so on and so forth. So product liability insurance is a very big topic in the USA, but I expect that it's going to be more and more of a hot topic also in the EU. So basically, as I mentioned at the start of the episode, your company, Asian Risks Management Services, right? You are an insurance broker, right? So can you explain a little bit how that works, and basically why would someone work with someone like you rather than going directly to some insurance companies?
Yeah, so why working with a broker? So first of all, a broker is specialized in insurance. He has an understanding of the policy wording, what is covered, what is not covered. So he can provide a good advice about this. This is important for any clients to understand what is covered for. The second thing is insurance broker helps you to buy insurance. And when I say so, it's not just the buying process, it's also the process to apply for insurance, because when you want to buy insurance, first of all, as I explained to you earlier, so the insurer is making an assessment about, you know, the risk, whether, you know, check if you have protection against fire, the product, if your product are compliant. So usually you have to fill out an application form to declare everything. You have to be transparent with insurer. And this is what we are doing. We are by the side of the clients, explaining to him and making sure that he provide a full declaration of risk situation. Otherwise, it will be not covered. So that's the first part, providing advice. Second part is also as an insurance broker, we are professional. We know insurance companies. So we know, so like in every business, some insurance companies are specialized in some business line, other business lines. So we know which insurance we should approach and which we should not approach for some kind of risk. Another thing is, as insurance broker, we help you not only to buy insurance, but also in case of claim, we are by your side to help you to communicate with insurance company and also to negotiate to make sure that the loss, the claim is indemnified in a fair amount. Using an insurance broker saves you time and effort when it comes to shop around, because it takes time to approach insurer. So an insurance broker will do this for you, and making the comparison about a different proposal. And actually, working with an insurance broker does not cost so much. There is no big difference between working with an insurance broker or working directly with an insurance company. And the simple reason so far is because, as broker, we have access to discount. We negotiate with insurance company, so we have book of business, so it's easier for us to negotiate discount. And when it comes to commission, any insurance broker are using agent. They are not so the people working with the clients are agent, and they got commission. So it's more or less the same. The big difference is insurance broker, we are appointed by our clients. We defend the interest of our clients. Agents and insurance company, they defend, they protect the interest, their own interest.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, well put. I mean, what I can say is that what we really enjoyed working with your company is that we look at the policy and we can ask questions and we can have intelligible answers quickly, and you can actually tell us, okay, this is like, this is going to be the same for all insurance companies, or this maybe can be on a case-by-case basis. It's a bit easier to extend, etc., right? Because for insurance companies, for insurance policies, really my general view on that is that the devil is in the details, and there's all kinds of exclusions, and really understanding properly all these exclusions is not easy for people like me who don't have much of a background in insurance. It's very hard to understand it just by reading a contract, right? To understand it fully. So making sure that the claims would actually be paid is super important, right? Okay, just as a closing note, I wanted also to include Amanda Han, who works in the Shanghai office.
Yeah.
Maybe can you tell us a little bit about your company as a closing note, and where people can reach out to you and Mark if
sure.
they ask, if they need maybe some advice or they have questions, etc.
Thank you, Renaud. So glad to finally meet you and sharing this opportunity with everyone here. Yes, so Asia Risk Management Service, we are a foreign invested broker based in China. We have two offices, one is Beijing, one is in Shanghai. So we cover the whole nation to helping those business operating in China. So as a broker, like Mark and Renaud have been touched on, we act as the best interest for our client. So the central thing is we know how. One is we know the insurance market, like what can be insured, what's the, you know, the risk from the operation, from the companies can be transferred to be paid by premium, by cover your potential risks, right? And another side, we understand the market, we know you. We, like Mark already mentioned, we actually gonna have a very systematic, you know, loop, workflow to understand your business nature, what kind of potential risk you might face. We tailored a proposal for you from the insurance point of view, and we ask the market to get the best quote, which including the cost effective, the premium, and the scope. Because you not only want insurance, you want an insurance which is useful and which is the best among the market. All in all, so we are by your side and helping you to mitigate risk. Any question, just reach out to us.
All right. Okay, thanks. And we'll put the link in the show notes, but Mark's and Amanda's website is asian-risks with a S at the end. .com, asianrisks.com. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Amanda. And thanks to the listeners and the viewers if you view this on YouTube.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Sophies Group. We're on a mission to provide you with everything you need to manufacture effectively in Asia, including inspections, auditing, new product development support, contract manufacturing, 3PL warehousing and fulfillment, and much, much more across Asia's key manufacturing areas. Visit us at sofeast.com, that's sofeast.com, to learn more and get help. If you've enjoyed the podcast today, please do rate, review, and share, because it will really help others discover us too.